you talk about having impact, having that sort of deep-seated drive to have that and have impact in the world and in your career, helping other people. What is the why to what you do? And what is success to you in your life?
Yeah. So my why is that I want to serve people. I have a deep belief that to be a servant to people is one of the greatest things and uses that I could do with my life. Success to me is, I think, if the people around me are winning because of the influence that I'm having around them, then that's winning for me.
And it goes back to having the right people around you, that multiplier effect. They might help you out as well. It might swing back and help you around.
Yeah,
as well.
And like the personal branding piece, who am I best positioned to serve? If I can get the people around me that I belong to by way of who I'm best positioned to serve, then what I have to offer is actually going to be highly beneficial to those people. So getting the people around me that don't just best benefit me, but that I can be of best benefit to.
Hello and welcome to the Brand My Career podcast. I'm your host, Alex Cutterford, and I'm so glad you're joining me today. My goal is to help you take ownership of your career, find your people through personal branding and networking, and take career-enhancing action. Managing your life and career can be hard. That's why every fortnight, I'll be releasing an episode where I interview a diverse range of guests that will help you find clarity and build confidence in your career. Let's get into it.
Hey, hello and welcome to another episode of Hiring and Inspiring. Today's guest is Alex Cutterford. Alex is, fellow podcaster, hosts his own podcast, all things career development. Looking forward to chatting to him today, going through his experience on the podcast and also going through his professional experience as well. He's got a lot of experience in the employability space. So looking forward to finding out what he's been doing, and also how he got to sort of where he is today and really uncovering his journey. So, Alex, with that introduction, mate, welcome to the show. How are you getting on?
Thanks so much, Joe. Yeah, really glad to be a guest on the podcast and, looking forward to chatting.
Let's start actually with your podcast. So talk to me about that. How did that all start? How's it been going? Talk to me about the sort of journey of that initially.
Really fun journey. It's a funny one. It became a running joke when I was working at Skillset, because for about 2 years I was pitching that we should be doing a podcast on career development. And so every opportunity that I had to pitch, that could be a podcast, you know, and then it came a point where no one even took it seriously. They would just laugh because I was constantly pitching it. There was one day the whole organization got split up into three teams, and it was sort of like a training day, and we had to come up with an idea for promoting a campaign that we were about to do. And so I once again took that as an opportunity to bring my podcast idea, and we did a full pitch. And so if it was ever going to happen, that was going to be the day.
Yeah.
Ultimately, the other two options did go ahead and the podcast never got up, but I kept pitching it all the time. And then I finished up with Skillset sort of towards the end of last year. And so that's when I sort of thought, all right, well, maybe it's time I just do it myself. And I had a bit of spare time in between finishing my old job and starting my new one. And so, of course, you've got 2 minutes to yourself and you come up with a podcast and start running your podcast on the side. So really love chatting with people about their career journeys and how they got to where they are and the unique journey that everyone takes. It's really interesting to me just to have those conversations. And so that's how it got started.
And talking a little bit about it, you know, you talk about career journeys, it's, you know, called Brand My Career, right? Talk to me about maybe some of the sort of the guests you have on the show, some of the things you've learned from some of them, maybe some highlights. Well, what can you say about that?
Yeah. So I guess, so Brand My Career, it came about because I was sort of like, as I was thinking it through, it's like, if this is going to be sustainable, it needs to be something that I really enjoy and I'm interested in. So I really love personal branding and I love career development. I was tossing up whether to call it Brand Your Career or Brand My Career. The reason I went with my was because I wanted the listener to speak it and it be sort of more internal to them rather than me telling you. It's them internalizing it for themselves. How can I be branding my career and branding my experience and taking ownership of my career. So Yeah, interviewed all kinds of people from around the world as well. So career coaches, personal stylists, really diverse guests. And I've got some really cool guests coming up. A lady in Canada who teaches people about young kids, sort of from years 5 and 6, starting to get to them and helping them explore diverse career options, because one of the things that they've learned through the data is that gender biases around careers start to form around that age, sort of years 5 and 6 is when a lot of those gender biases start to form. And so they're starting to talk to young girls about STEM pathways and careers in trades at that younger age to make sure that they realize that that's an option for them. And so that episode hasn't launched yet, so that one's still to come.
Yep.
But I think one of the things you learn is that whilst we're all unique, so many of us face the same challenges. So I've interviewed a university student, but I've also interviewed a CEO. Both of them, when I'm asking if they want to come on the show, are saying, oh, but like, does anyone want to listen to me? Like the uni student saying, I'm assuming you're going to interview CEOs and stuff. And you know, really important people, like who wants to listen to me? And I said, don't worry, the CEO said the exact same thing.
That's funny, actually. The most probably senior people I've had on my show, you know, massive general manager, run big companies, you know, hundreds of people below him, was probably the most nervous and apprehensive guest I've had. And was very sort of so self-conscious about what they were saying and wanted it to be, you know, making sure that they, you know, released a perfect episode. And it was, yeah. And then you have the complete opposite where maybe like a 22-year-old would just jump on. They don't care. You know, I know what you're saying.
Yeah. Yeah. So you see so much of that.
So you mentioned there, you've always sort of had a passion or an interest in career development and that kind of stuff. Where do you think that comes from personally?
So I wouldn't say always, but it definitely started to evolve. So I guess it all sort of ties in with my time at Skillset and things like this, but also my career journey. So I left home at 16, moved from Bathurst in the central west of New South Wales down to Canberra to do my apprenticeship. I was actually in pursuit of becoming an AFL player, but quickly found out I was a better cabinet maker than football player. Did my apprenticeship down there. And then when I finished that up, I sort of moved back home, did some traveling, all of that sort of stuff. And then I came back to Bathurst, sort of settled down, got married, was working with a builder. And then over time I started, it wasn't as fulfilling. And it also, I was in my early 20s and my knees were already starting to fail me. So and I was starting to move into some youth work and stuff. And I was doing some youth work voluntarily, sort of moved into an internship sort of space and transitioned into youth work. I was really loving that and loving working with young people, supporting people through, you know, real foundational stages of their life and stuff. I was working in youth work, but then it was still sort of quite sporadic work or part-time and all this sort of stuff, and was wanting some more stable employment. And then that's when the role came up with Skillset, and they were looking for someone with trade experience and youth work experience to become a apprentice's mentor for a program that they had. So literally was just like custom built for this role, right? You know, they're looking for people with trade experience and youth experience. And so when I've applied, they were kind of like, oh, wow. Like, this is a juicy candidate. So, got that role and was, a part of that program, mentoring apprentices in their first and second year of their trade to sort of help those completion rates and support them through those early years when you're not earning much. Your whole new experience, you're working hard, you're tired, you know, mental health is a big challenge for a lot of apprentices across society as well. So, I was in that, but that didn't continue getting funded. But then there was an opportunity to transition into some of the other career development programs that they had. So, and then I got into that, and that's where I just really was like, oh, this is my groove. Like, I love working with people. I love supporting people. But it gave this real practical application to it. And I just loved that and really thrived in it. And so over time, I was able to get promoted and sort of eventually worked my way up at Skillset to managing our career development program. So I had a number of programs that I was then overseeing. So there was a Connecting Women to Trade program that I was really loving overseeing. Another program that was for 15 to 19 year olds disengaged from school and supporting them to re-engage into some form of education or employment. I just loved it.
Yeah, it's interesting because you say about it wasn't always your sort of your passion. It wasn't that thing where you like follow your passion. You rather than followed you'd followed your passion, you'd be still trying to play AFL, I guess.
Yeah. I keep trying to return, but I keep injuring myself.
It's more you found it, right? You sort of happened to be right place, right time. And then once you got in the role, when you were really helping these people out, that's when you were like, this is my groove, so to speak. This is what I'm meant to be. Is that right? Is this what I'm meant to be doing?
Yeah, and the language that, and this is again the benefit of hosting a podcast and talking to great people, is that they put language to some of the stuff that you know that you didn't necessarily have the language. Right. And talking Rebecca De Blasi, a career coach in Melbourne that I spoke to, and she goes, oh yeah, that's what I learned in my course. It's called Planned Happenstance. And I was like, oh, okay, talk to me about that. And it's sort of like this whole thing of there's this randomness to life and your career building. But if you're engaged in the process of trying to keep developing, keep growing, looking for opportunities and understanding your strengths and then where that could be applied, this thing of sort of planned happenstance happens where you're planning to grow and develop and change, but there's also this randomness to it. And it's just about taking those opportunities when they come then.
Yeah, it's almost just keep taking the action, keep stepping forward, and
yeah,
you haven't got it completely planned out. But if you know, it should sort of fall into place. So it can often just fall into place for you.
Yeah, I talk about it like the chicken and the egg story. I was thinking, and I've written about it. What came first, the opportunity or the growth mindset? Because it's often the growth mindset that prepares you to actually see or identify the opportunity. But it's the opportunity that then allows you to grow. And so, yeah, the two work in tandem.
When do you think you maybe adopted that mindset yourself?
I think it was at my time at Skillset when I very consciously developed that mindset, growth mindset within the career context. And I sort of made that decision, and that's where this language for me comes in around ownership of your career. When I made that mental mind shift that I really wanted to press into my career and build it and grow it, it felt like a whole bunch of stuff started unlocking. And that's when I was able to then, progress into those leadership roles and really sort of start, taking my career to the next level by way of influence and leadership. And also the offering that I could give my career creatively. Often I would probably channel my creative energy into things separate to my career, whereas then I started to channel my creative energy into developing my career and also adding as much value to the roles that I was in and the people around me.
You talk about that skill set, your time at Skillset, that was a real growth time for you, and you had a lot of you achieved some promotions there, and you touched upon you took ownership of your career in that time. And You talk about a few things there, but what was it, do you think, and this is an opportunity to sort of pat yourself on the back a little bit, things you did well in that time to allow you to progress like you did, have the success in that role that you did? What was it about that time that you think you did well?
I think the biggest win that I had stepping into the management role, so when you're first stepping into management, you're bound to have people on your team that have more experience. They've been doing the job that you've been doing for longer. And all different dynamics. And so when I started with my team, I was sort of very conscious of that. I had people in my team that had 10 years experience, 20 years experience in the same organization. Like there was people that had been there for 10 and 20 years, and I've sort of been there maybe 4 or 5 years at this time, and now I'm in a position to lead them.
Yeah.
And so one of the first things that I did was in one of our team meetings, I opened up and said, these are my weaknesses. These are my strengths. This is how I handle stress poorly, like, and was really quite vulnerable. And as I'm doing this, and some of my team are in the room, some of them are on Microsoft Teams by distance, because we sort of worked throughout the whole Central West. And I'm sort of reading this going, like, I don't know if this is going well. I don't know if this is going really badly. I can even, like, on the screen, they're sort of laughing a little bit. And I'm like, you never know on Teams. So, like, did something just happen in the room, or am I just getting laughed at? Like, I'm like, oh, man, this could be going really badly right now. Nearly all of those team members at some point came to me individually and were like, I really appreciated that. And one of them was like, I went to catch up with her in her office, and I was sort of like, it was our first time catching up after it. And I was like, I don't know how it's going. And the first thing she says to me when she sits down, she looks me in the eyes and goes, that took balls what you just did the other day. Mm-hmm. So, and from that point, I really felt a sense of trust with the team, and I was very strong on, I don't want to try and, I definitely don't want to be perceived as the sort of cowboy that's come in thinking he knows everything, the young punk that just got his promotion and now all the power's gone to his head and all that sort of stuff. So
yeah,
I think that vulnerability piece was the biggest thing to setting up trust with the team and success that we had. Hey, Alex here. Just wanted to reach out to everyone and say thank you so much for following along with the Brand My Career podcast. I'm really loving having the conversations that I'm having and bringing this content to people. I want to keep bringing more content to people. I want to bring stories of people's career journey. And one of the ways that I can be doing that is by getting your support. And one of the ways you can do that is by shouting me a coffee. On my website, you can find the link to shout me a coffee to help me keep bringing more content, building what I'm already have done and improving it, getting better, getting more and more people on and sharing their career stories and the lessons that they've learned along the way. So thank you for following along. And would you consider getting on board and helping me take it to new heights?
Yeah, I think with that, the vulnerability piece, it's quite often like it might, when if you're doing something like you did, you might get a little bit laughed at in a group situation. It's quite often, as you classic what you just said, one-on-one, people actually go, you know what, Alex, that actually was, you know, I really respect that. Just sort of quietly, you know, you know, more, yeah, I actually really, you know, appreciate what you did.
Yeah. And then I shared that with my management team. I said to them, oh, yeah, so, you know, giving my update, I said, oh, I shared my weaknesses and strengths with the team the other day. And they're like, oh, what were they? So then I ended up sharing it with the management team as well. Yeah, and it's just sort of, I think, being vulnerable, and particularly if you're the first one to go, it just gives other people permission to open up and understand that you're a safe person to that, okay, this person's willing to open up. Maybe I can be more vulnerable with that person. I can connect with that person. And then this creates opportunities and dynamics that you can then be collaborating more easily in your roles.
Yeah. Because reality is, like, everyone, whatever role they're doing, they haven't got it all figured out. They don't know what they're doing half the time.
Yeah.
So, but there's this sort of facade that you must, you know, almost pretend that you're an expert in everything all the time.
Yeah. And everyone knows your weaknesses already. And if you don't, so it's like, it's almost an opportunity to control the narrative around your weaknesses, because if you don't open up about it, then there's every opportunity that they think you're trying to hide your weaknesses or that you don't know they're there. But if they know that you know, then all of a sudden they have less fear to bring it up with you, you know, like, so I bring it up all the time. Like, I'll even share my weaknesses around, like, I'm a shocking speller. Like, I'm really bad at spelling. And then my boss the other day, so I was working on writing up a strategy document that we knew there would be a lot of back and forth on really honing in on it. And then he goes to me, he goes, oh, you know, he's corrected all this spelling in it. He goes, I feel so much more comfortable correcting all of this because I know that you've acknowledged that, you know, this is a weakness for you. And so otherwise he might feel like, oh, like, is he insecure about this? Is he feeling attacked by this, you know, like, or, yeah, all of that has been removed because I sort of got ahead of it.
You talk about building trust with the team and that being like vulnerable, that piece was important. It's something I always think about. It's, 'cause it's so important in any team environment, the trust between team managers and the team. And everyone always says, yeah, trust is important. But I'm always trying to figure out, like, how do you actually build that trust? Like, what is it? What do you actually need to do? What else do you think? And this is, it doesn't necessarily have to be related to your career or what you've done, but say a leader or someone in a team environment can do to foster, you know, build an environment that really fosters that trust between employer and employee. What have you seen work?
So obviously there's the vulnerability and then authenticity that I think are the really core underpinning components to it. And then I think it's then how finding ways to then actively work that out. And sometimes they may not even see it. But then it's maybe to yourself, like, I know for me, so working at skill set, there was a period there where I knew my next step of progression that I wanted to get to. But I made a deliberate decision that I was going to advocate for each of my team to get something that they wanted before I made that ask for myself. And so, yeah, I essentially had gotten all of my team a pay rise before I asked for a pay rise. Now, whether or not that, like, they wouldn't have known, my room light's just gone out because I'm in a hotel room. Yeah, they didn't necessarily know that everyone around me, they didn't know that I had gotten everyone else a pay rise, but each of them knew that I'd advocated for them. So that, I think, goes a long way, like that advocation piece for people. And that was
putting
one of
them,
the things
putting
that
them
my...
first, right? Putting their interests first before yours.
Yeah. And so even on my last day, one of my team members said, they said, I always knew that you were going to advocate for me and you cared about me, not just getting the KPIs met.
Talk to me about it's something you've touched upon. I know you posted about before, taking ownership of your career. It's something you did yourself, right?
Yeah.
Why is it so important to you? Why is it so, I guess, close to your heart?
Yeah. So I'm very, very deliberate in saying ownership rather than control. So often the language gets used of take control of your career. But most of the influences on our career, we don't actually control. Like, we don't control if we get a good or bad boss. We don't control if COVID hits and sort of screws everything up. We don't control all of these things. All we have is the opportunity to take responsibility for ourselves. And so that's where, for me, ownership is about taking responsibility. And so I think that's just a good little mindset shift in going, because if you're trying to control everything, you're just going to get frustrated. You're just going to be disillusioned. But it's more about, okay, life is going to be happening. My career, I have a direction that I want my career to go. I'm going to take ownership of that, meaning I'm taking responsibility rather than outsourcing responsibility. So many people in their career outsource responsibility of their career to their employer. They think they sit there in the same role and they're disgruntled that they didn't get the promotion they wanted. Someone got it ahead of them and they're frustrated like that because they think that company owed it to you to give you that promotion. Maybe you would have been great at that role, but there's so many influences that we can't control about it. But you now have a responsibility to make a decision. Okay, well, is my response going to be to keep working at it? Is my response going to be ask for feedback for why I didn't get it? Is it going to be, all right, well, maybe the opportunity isn't here and I'm going to move on? You can't make the decision to stay and then being upset that you're not getting what you want. You've got to take that decision for yourself. When you take ownership, I think that develops resilience and it develops adaptability. And I think COVID was the perfect experience of that. There's a reason why some companies boomed and some companies busted from COVID. Obviously, there was things outside of everyone's control and there's elements that no one has any blame for why they didn't do well. But there were definitely people that took responsibility of how they were going to adapt And they had resilience because they had taken ownership for themselves rather than outsourcing responsibility and then just being frustrated with everything that was happening. And companies, obviously, you know, like we saw companies just explode in terms of growth and other ones completely fall in on themselves. And I think that's true on an individual level as well.
I guess the opposite is of taking ownership is sort of blaming everything else, right? You know, it's the market's fault that I'm not performing, or it's, you know, my company's, it's my boss's fault that I haven't got that promotion.
Yeah. So now you've just made your boss the in charge of your career and the market in charge of your career, but it's your career and no one cares more about your career than you.
What advice would you give someone who's maybe listening to you and they go, yeah, that I need to take a bit more ownership of my career. I need to stop blaming other people and the circumstances. But because you say it requires a bit of resilience. You know, you're putting your neck on the line a bit. You might be getting outside of that comfort zone, or you might, because you've got to take some action. You might have to change things up to say that. What advice would you give that person?
And so that's where it sort of leads into where I talk around self, others and actions. And so the way that I sort of came to that, when I finished up at Skillset, I was thinking about the podcast and where I wanted it to go. And I was reading there's the Career Development Blueprint for Australia, the Australian Career Development Blueprint. And that sort of underpins any career development sort of curriculum is sort of underpinned typically by this. And it talks about the 12 management competencies. And I'm reading that and I'm going, like, no one's going to remember 12 things. Yeah. And so I was sort of looking through it for the themes, and that's where it really, for me, stood out of self, others, and actions. So self being doing the inner work that you need to do. And that's where that ownership piece really comes in strongly. So understanding internally how you can be developing and growing, developing a growth mindset, emotional intelligence, self-awareness, all of this sort of stuff. But no one can succeed alone, and no one is a self-made person. You know, I understand what people mean when they say I'm self-made. They mean like I didn't inherit $1 billion to start this company. But everyone needs someone around them. You don't get a promotion without a boss making the decision to give you a promotion. Like, there's always someone else involved at any given point. And so having a network, having good people around you, that's where it's become so important. And then action, so making career-enhancing decisions. And where the personal branding piece in there comes in is that I believe personal branding is the bridge between self and others. You know, we can do all this, the inner work, but how are we actually going to connect to the people that we need to connect to that are going to be the ones that help us go to the next level or to progress or develop in the role that we're in? Well, you get to them through the personal branding piece. And so that's the high level. Is there any areas of those that you'd want to zoom in on?
Yeah, the personal branding, you know, you talk about that quite a bit, you know, the authentic personal branding. What does that mean? And what is someone who's maybe looking to develop their own or enhance theirs? What can you talk more a bit about that?
So I guess the way I came to defining personal branding is your ability to communicate who you are, what you value, who you belong to, and who you're best positioned to serve. And so really understanding those pieces about yourself. And so to personally brand yourself, it's the ability to communicate. So you're going outside of yourself, but it's taking all of that inner working and finding a way to put that out into the world that people can actually understand, they can interpret it, and it resonates with the people that you want it to resonate with. I think the classic example that you can tell, and everyone always talks about, you know, everyone's doing personal branding, whether they know it or not. I think in particularly, think of the teenage kid. And one day they were just this sweet, innocent kid and they loved you and they wanted to talk to you. And then they walk out of the room one day, and all of a sudden they're dressed in all black. The mascara is thicker than it ever was. And all of a sudden you're getting grunts instead of a cuddle. And that young person is now communicating to you that I want to belong more to my friends that all dress like this than I do my mum and dad. And it feels really brutal, and teenagers aren't subtle. And so this is why it's such a clear announcement that I'm now belong to this group of friends more than I belong to this family unit. And obviously there's nuance to all of that, but that's, I think, a great example of showing how the way you dress, the way you communicate is establishing who you belong to. And we're all doing that through the way that we dress, the brands that we have, you know. So, and that's where the dressing piece of how we is communicating extremely powerfully who we belong to, what we stand for. I deliberately suit up when I'm at work. You know, I want to be in that zone of I'm here, I'm engaged in what I'm doing. And I want to have that elevated element of dress. On my podcast, I'm wearing more hoodies more often than not. I feel weird. Like, there's been times where I've had to record an episode before quickly ducking off to work. And so I've been in my suit, and I feel weird doing a podcast episode where the environment that I'm in is more about that. Okay, we're sitting, we're talking. This is just two people having a really good conversation. And so I prefer that different space. And so it's probably good for people to understand, like, you can have nuance to your personal branding. You know, at the end of the day, it's not about the hoodie or the suit. It's about an ability to connect with people in the appropriate way for the goal at hand. And that's where the authentic bit comes in, and going, is it done with a pure intention to connect or to deceive? And so that's where personal branding, I think, gets its bad rep, is that there's been countless examples of people doing it to deceive and to maybe make people think that there's something that they're not. It's coming from maybe a place of insecurity or just motives to manipulate. But if you're doing it with a genuine intention to connect, that's where I think personal branding becomes really powerful.
It's obviously clearly something you've given a lot of thought to, and you touched upon a few things there, and I don't want to put you on the spot too much, but how would you sum up your own personal brand, the brand that you've attempted to create around yourself, your own career? How would you describe it?
So I guess thinking through the podcast, one of the things that I hold for myself is I want it to be professional but not polished. So I want to do a good quality. I wanted to get a camera. I set the lights up. I do all that stuff. But if I and ah through it, like I don't pick apart everything and cut out every little moment where I'm sort of like, you know, or things that I might be insecure about or whatever. I edit it to the amount of time that I have because I'm editing my own. So that's one component that I think has been really, really key for me. What was the question again?
Your own personal brand. The way you're like, how do you sum it up?
Yeah. The color themes that I chose. So I chose light brown and pink. So light brown was to represent growth. The pink was actually a deliberate act to not be over masculine, because I was kind of, I didn't want to be one of the career bros, you know, like this, you know, all the bro culture. I call my wife the gym bro of our family because she goes to the gym more than me. But I deliberately wanted to have that element of approachability that this isn't necessarily guys. Like, I really want to make sure that the voice I have is connecting with women as well for their careers and supporting them in their careers. So wanting to have that broad scope of who I can support. There's probably heaps more that I could just keep going forever, because I do think of that a lot.
I can tell it. Don't worry, that helps me. I got a couple more for you. One of your posts which caught my eye not that long back, it was about the importance of having the right people around you. And in relation to your sort of your career development, if that's, you know, the theme of this show, this episode, talking about the importance maybe that you've seen in having the right people around you, providing that platform for you to develop your career, or in the other cases, maybe not having the right people and it not benefiting you? What, why is it so important to you, do you think?
It's probably one of the biggest cliche statements that, that will get said around. It's not who you know. It's not what you know, it's who you know. And it's a cliche because it's so true. Particularly working with young people when they were trying to get into employment, I would have to say that 90% of the people that were got a job whilst in the program would have known someone within the industry they were trying to get into. It's one of the biggest barriers for people to get in and started in an industry is actually knowing someone in there that could give them a shot, give them a chance. And it comes out constantly and constantly again. So think about networking and going to a networking event. Like, you could go to an event and talk to, say you want to get into the legal field. You go to a networking event and you talk to 20 people, but not one of them is in the legal field. You might have some good conversations, meet some good people. Someone might even know someone that's in the legal field that could potentially lead to a connection. You go to the same event, you talk to one person and they're in the legal field. And they go, oh, you know, actually, I know our law firm's looking for a receptionist. And I know the last receptionist actually ended up studying law while she was doing it and got a promotion, was able to progress internally. And now they're looking for someone. They might do the same thing again. Like, I could help you get a meeting. I was like, sweet. So instantly, you've met one person, but it was the right person. And so and that gets back to the planned happenstance. Like, when you're networking, you're connecting with people, particularly networking, has this flow-on effect of you chat to one person, they introduce you to another person. Next thing you know, there's opportunities coming from everywhere, all from this one conversation with someone. I guess the flip side of the negative influence is if you've got people around you that are heading in a completely opposite direction to where you're wanting to go, you're just going to be swimming against the tide. So really having the right people or the wrong people is, you can probably equate it to whether you're swimming with or against the tide. I think when you've got good people around you, there's a direction that it just naturally takes you in. The podcast has played a huge part for me in terms of connecting with people. And it comes through different ways, though. Like, it's not just that someone found you through the podcast and you connect. Like, some of the people that I've connected with for work, they then come back to me and go, oh, yeah, hey, I was listening to a podcast the other day. Oh, it's really great. And this creates another connection point. We've connected at work. They've then gone and seen the podcast. Now, all of a sudden, they understand me a bit differently. And it then creates a connection point that we have. And it opens up all kinds of conversations that wouldn't have got opened up. And it's just all about being in that ecosystem of having good people around you. If you've got people with different goals, and, you know, I guess probably the most stark place you would see it is, you know, in your relationships. Like, me and my wife have had to work to be on the same page and move in the same direction. And when you're not moving in the same direction, it's a lot less fun.
Yeah, for sure. Back to yourself and your own maybe personal career, and, you know, if we switch up and talk a little bit about the future, what are some of your, you know, if we talk about the career development, what are some of the things you're hoping to achieve? What are some of your goals? And that can be, you know, with the podcast, that can be in your day-to-day work. What can I maybe expect from you in the next few years?
I'll let you know when I work it out. I'm very much still in an exploratory phase of my career. I would take learning opportunities over a pay rise in this sort of phase of life. I've taken a role with the federal government that is sort of closely aligned with the work I was doing, a skill set. And a lot of that was just around wanting to learn and develop and have a broader understanding of, I guess, the career ecosystem that we all work and live in. And so for me, I just want to keep learning, keep developing and understanding where could I have the most impact with my career that I live out and with my future. And so I have, you know, ideas and thoughts in my head about what that might look like. whether it means ending up in maybe more senior leadership roles within a non-for-profit, whether it's actually I think I could have more impact internally in government and work my way up there. I don't think I'll be selling everything and living in a van on the beach somewhere or anything like that. I think moving into some sort of leadership role in the future would probably be where I ultimately want to get to, because I have this drive and deep desire for impact. Now, a mentor that I've recently sort of been chatting with was really pushing me on that, like, why careers? Like, you know, why the career space? And I was actually stumbling on it, and I was, and he goes, oh, you're going to have to think about that. I think for me, and it's probably because there's an element of careers is an amazing touch point to connect with people, and I care about people, not just careers, right? But the career conversation is an amazing entry point to then connect with someone on all kinds of things in their life. There's another part of me that's like, actually, if you just want to rock up to work, clock in, clock out, and go home, like, go for it. Like, I don't think career is that important by way of your deepest identities. Yeah. So there's all these nuances that I hold. So I could end up completely out of the career space, or I could stay in it for the rest of my life. And I'm open and comfortable right now with that ambiguity, whilst also being highly engaged in what I'm doing and where I'm going. And where it could lead. So it's kind of, I'm both highly strategic, highly detail oriented, while simultaneously very open to it looking different. Because when I was 16 and working as a cabinet maker, I didn't think I'd be doing this.
Yeah. And kind of leads me nicely actually onto my final question. You talk about having impact, having that sort of deep seated drive to have that and have impact in the world and in your career, helping other people. I don't want to sound like your mentor here, but like, what is the why to what you do? What is the reason you do what you do, and what is sort of success to you in your life?
Yeah. So my why is that I want to serve people. I have a deep belief that to be a servant to people is one of the greatest things and uses that I could do with my life. Success to me is, I think, if the people around me are winning because of the influence that I'm having around them, then that's winning for me. If the people around me can win, then I think I'm going to get pretty close to my winning.
And it goes back to having the right people around you, that multiplier effect. They might help you out as well. It might swing back and help you around.
Like the personal branding piece, who am I best positioned to serve? So, if I can get the people around me that I belong to by way of who I'm best positioned to serve, then what I have to offer is actually going to be highly beneficial to those people. So getting the people around me that don't just best benefit me, but that I can be of best benefit to.
Alex, really nice way to wrap up the show today. Thank you very much.
Awesome. Thanks so much
today. Really appreciate everything you shared. And thank you for joining me on the show today. Alex Cuddiford.
Cheers, mate. Thanks so much for joining me today. Be sure to subscribe so you never miss an episode. And let's connect on LinkedIn so that we can keep the conversation going. Or head to my website and download my free resource, The Career Building Principles. Bye for now.